As the Lord may be pleased to help me this afternoon, I direct you to a word in the Solomon's Song, chapter 7, and reading verse 5. The Song of Solomon, chapter 7, and the first sentence in verse 5. Who is this that cometh up from the wilderness, leaning upon her beloved? Who is this that cometh up from the wilderness, leaning upon her beloved? The fifth verse of chapter 8 in the Song of Solomon. The text is in the form of a question. And what a mercy if we're helped to answer that question, as it were, according to the scriptures. Who is this? Surely it is no less than the Church of God here below, coming up from the wilderness. And the beloved in the text is the church's living head. Song of Solomon is an outstanding book. Needs grace to understand it. Needs the Holy Spirit's gracious aid. A bit of setting forth we have, really, that union which exists between the Lord Jesus Christ and his beloved church. Both union and also communion. And really this is set before us in this little sentence in this text, in the fifth verse. So we'll venture for a little while this afternoon to try and consider this word with you. And in the light of what we tried to speak a little this morning with regard to burdened souls and casting their burdens upon the Lord, really in this text we have an instance of this. Here is one being graciously sustained and supported. And let us try and consider the words as is before us, and may the Lord help one to do so. And what a mercy, dear friends, if we can enter a little into the true meaning of this word and to have some personal experience of what is set before us in this text. Who is this that cometh up from the wilderness? Well, the church is in the wilderness. There is the church here below, which is indeed in the wilderness. And if you and I have the great mercy to be a member of that church, then we should know what it is for this wilderness, for this world to be a wilderness to us. God's ancient people, you see, as the Lord led them forth by his promise and delivered them from the Egyptian bondage, he brought them to the wilderness. And their journey to the promised land was through the wilderness. And this is typical of God's spiritual Israel. And here we have this one coming up from the wilderness. She's no stranger to the wilderness. She has to live in it, as it were. And yet, there's a coming up out of it. And I would notice that, because surely the path of a true child of God will be an upward path, as it were. In the scriptures, the way of death, the way to hell, the way of the wicked, is a downward path. And how solemn it is to consider that thousands are rushing, as it were, that downward path to destruction. Nothing but the grace of God can bring poor sinners out of that way of destroying nature they're in. But here's one who's coming up. It's an uphill journey. Let us notice that. Who is this that cometh up from the wilderness? Every true child of God, to a greater or lesser degree, will realise it is, as it were, an uphill journey. It is not that which is pleasing to the flesh. Yet it is a way, a path in the wilderness that leads to heaven. To the heavenly Canaan. But it is an upward path. There are the difficulties in the way. There are the temptations. There are the burdens felt. It will be a way when such have to realise their dependence upon another. And what a lesson that is we have to learn, do we not, as we journey on in life's pathway. If you and I have the great mercy to be as this one coming up out of the wilderness. One lesson we have to learn, surely, is our dependence upon another. How we do need to be delivered from any self-dependence. You know, there's a tendency in us by nature to be independent, as it were. But how that has to be dealt with, and we have to be realised, we have no help in self. Yet have sought it well, as well as we are said in the hymn. So there is an upward journey. And it's upward journey from the wilderness. Now, let us ask ourselves a question in the light of this. What is this world to us? I would not confuse this with the fact that nature is beautiful as God has created it. Although sin has marred God's fair creation, and there are many blessings and benefits which are enjoyed in this world. But we have to think of this in the light of the experience of God's dear people. Because as they view the world and the way of the world and the corruptions of the world, it will be to them as a wilderness. It's a great mercy, dear friends, if you and I are brought to realise this, so that we're not left to settle down, as it were, in this wilderness world, but rather to be, as it were, pilgrims journeying through it. And although it must inevitably be an uphill journey, yet you see, a journey that is made, as it were, through the grace of God. Then we notice the text tells us about this one leaning, as it were. This reminds us of weakness. It reminds us of dependence, doesn't it? When a weak person feels to be weak and to be able to make any progress, as it were, they need a helping hand. They need one to lean on. And we have a beautiful setting forth here of the dear Lord Jesus Christ himself. It becomes us to try and exalt his precious and blessed name. And notice he is described here as her beloved. And we do well to ask ourselves the question as to what the Lord Jesus Christ is to us. Can we truly say he is our beloved? Has there been naught in our hearts a love to the Lord Jesus Christ? Some might say, well, I do need that to be made plain to me. I hope I'm not a total stranger to it. Yet perhaps you may feel sometimes you cannot climb as high as this to claim him as your beloved. But think of this, dear friends. If this world is a wilderness to you, there'll be other things. You'll be weaned from it. And there'll be the things that pertain to the worship of God and the things that belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. And even though you fear to venture, as it were, to presume with regard to your love to the Lord Jesus Christ, do you love the things that he loves? Think of it like that. Do you love the people that he loves? Do you love his worship? Do you love his precious word? Do you love his glorious gospel? Though perhaps you cannot lay claim to great outstanding experiences, but you know there will be a love, the cause of God and truth. The things that are dear to the Lord Jesus Christ will be dear to you. A beautiful Moabitish widow, when Naomi had to return to Bethlehem, and Ruth went with her, there was something wrought in Ruth's heart which Naomi had not, which Orpah had not. No doubt they both loved Naomi as a mother-in-law. They both wept. But in Ruth's case, there was something deeper than natural love. There was something which drew her heart to Naomi, and therefore to Naomi's God. And Naomi's desires and the way in which she went, so much so that she was given grace to cleave to Naomi and to be steadfastly minded. I like that word in the book of Ruth concerning her. You see, there was something there, some secret there, not in her heart, by the grace of God. She got her union to Naomi, who was a God-fearing widow. She felt her heart drawn to her. And nothing would stop her from cleaving to her. Although, as far as she could see, the prospect was not very bright, yet she felt such a cleaving to Naomi. And I like that word where it tells us she was steadfastly minded to go with her. Well, now that flowed from love. And it was something deeper, something stronger than just natural love. Orpah had that, but she had not that stronger, that spiritual love that was wrought in the heart of Ruth. So that while Orpah went back to her people and to her gods, Ruth expressed that earnest desire that she might go with Naomi, that Naomi's God might be her God. Well, now that was love. And that love was wrought in her heart by the Lord himself, by his Spirit. And we need to consider that. And the source of that love. In the epistle of John, we have this word, we love him because he first loved us. Now, in the text, the Lord Jesus Christ is described as her beloved. And as I said just now, though perhaps you may fear to presume in that, yet it's a great mercy if your heart is drawn that way. Your heart is drawn that way. Yes, drawn away from this wilderness world and drawn to the Lord Jesus Christ himself and those things that belong to him, his word, his worship, his people. Because it is the same Spirit, you see. Well, now we have then this pilgrim, as it were, coming up from the wilderness. She cannot settle down in the wilderness. She's on a journey. And that journey is an upward journey. It is a heaven-bound journey, really. But now she's weak in herself. And being weak, she has to depend upon another. So our text reminds us that as she comes up from the wilderness, she comes up, as it were, being supported and strengthened and sustained. Now I'd like to consider this because notice that as we tried to think of this morning with regard to a poor sinner casting his burden upon the Lord, there is that sustaining grace. Now, we have that beautiful set before us really here. It was as she leaned upon her beloved that she experienced that sustaining grace. It was that supported her. It was that which enabled her still to press on, still to continue. And although there were the difficulties, an uphill journey as it were. It was in a wilderness journey. Yet, she was leaning upon another. And I do want to notice this too, because there's nearness, you see. There's nearness. And one blessing that true pilgrims in a right mind desire to experience is that nearness to the Lord, a nearness to the Lord Jesus Christ. Mourning over sin that separates, but a desire for that nearness to him. It's a great word, isn't it? Where Moses speaks with regard to the tribes of Israel in his latter days and makes reference to Joseph and Benjamin, rather, should dwell between his shoulders. It indicates nearness, you see. And here, this one, this weak one, this one coming up out of the wilderness, there's a close union, leaning upon a beloved. It's a beautiful illustration, really. You see, on the one hand we have weakness, on the other hand we have omnipotence. And that binding together, as it were, in love, her beloved. Also this wonderful song we have, setting forth of the love of the Lord Jesus Christ to his people, and his people's love to him. And that union which exists between the two, typified in the bride and the bridegroom. And there's a beauty to be seen. The bride sees a beauty in her bride, in the bridegroom. And wonderful to tell, the bridegroom sees a beauty in the bride, but it is a comeliness that flows from him. No beauty in sinners as sinners. But the Lord does. He does beautify his dear people. There's a great word in the Psalms, isn't there? He will beautify the meek with salvation. What a great word that is. And surely it indicates that comeliness that the Lord puts on his dear people. They are comely through him. You see, by nature, sinners, everything that proceeds from sin is ugliness, is deformity. Such was the sad ruin of the Adam fall. When you think about beauty, well, the source of it is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And his dear people have an interest in that, you see. And they're made comely, yes, through his comeliness. Now they had to mourn over their felt unworthiness and their sinfulness, their guiltiness. Yet they are taught to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And here in this text we have this secret of trusting. It's leaning. This pilgrim, she couldn't go in her own strength. She was too weak. The uphill journey was too steep, as it were. And yet she proceeds. She comes up out of the wilderness. She's not brought to utter standstill, as it were. But there's a continuing. And the secret of it is this, that she leans upon her beloved. And it does show to us, isn't it, the condescending mercy and grace and love of the Lord Jesus Christ to his dear people as they journey on here below. He helps them along. There is indeed that sustaining. I like that word, sustaining. How this dear one must have felt support. And you see, the weaker she felt, the harder she had to lean. And we do need to come into that, don't we? See, all the time we, in any way, whatever, lean on our own strength, well, that's our folly. That's our folly. You see, Peter loved his Lord. He loved him sincerely. It was the root of the matter in Peter's heart, to the Lord Jesus Christ. But he had lessons to learn. And when he made that bold statement, he never led the Lord Jesus Christ. Others might lead, not Peter. He didn't realise he was seeking to stand in his own strength. He's not leaning upon his beloved. The Lord Jesus Christ was beloved to him, but he got to learn his dependence upon him. And it was a solemn lesson for Peter to learn, because he had to prove, when left to himself, how sadly he did fall. Even to deny his Lord and Master, whom he belonged to and whom he loved. But you see, he's in Satan's sieve. He had to learn. He couldn't stand in his own strength. And we have to learn that. May we learn that lesson. We can't stand in our own strength. This one in the text was in a safe place. She's leaning upon her beloved. Weak in herself, but realise her dependence, and in the dependence to lean, and to lean hard. Yes, lean all her weight, as it were, upon this other one, this wondrous person, the Lord Jesus Christ. And thus supported, thus sustained, as it were. Yes, with strength given, support given. Or I would try and speak well of this wondrous person, her beloved. Speak with strength, his arm is strong. Or how he is set forth in the scriptures. And the secret of the blessing of the gospel is the gospel of Jesus Christ. In all the sufficiency there is in him. And the strength that is in him. The wisdom that is in him. And all that his dear people stand in need of as they journey on and journey up out of this wilderness. There's a wondrous sufficiency. And this bond that binds together the beloved and the loved one can never be severed. No, not all the failings that may be in the one that leans. The bond can never be severed. His union that can never be broken. I refer once more, just for a moment, to dear Peter, you know. Well, he did sadly fall. He was riddled in Satan's sieve, and the poor man must have felt indeed very guilty when the Lord Jesus Christ turned and looked on him. He had given deep repentance. But there's one thing to be considered, and the Lord Jesus Christ made this known to Peter. Simon, Satan has desired to have you to sift thee as wheat, but I prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. Just think of that. The Lord Jesus Christ prayed for Peter. Yes, had an interest in the all-availing intercessions of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is a portion that belongs to all God's dear people. They have an interest in his prayer. Read that beautiful chapter in the Gospel according to John, where the dear Saviour prayed for his people. Prayed for his disciples, he prayed for all his own dear people. Or to realise an interest in his all-availing intercessions. And when perhaps sometimes as you journey on, coming out in the wilderness, you try to pray, and it's difficult. You find it's difficult to try and pray. Sometimes you seem to be so prayerless. Yet all this never in any way whatever alters the fact that there's a union between poor sinners and the Lord Jesus Christ. And that one upon whom she leans, her beloved, he's always the same. Yes, his mercy is the same, his strength is the same, his wisdom is the same, his compassion remains the same. There's no failing in him. But though the dear Lord Jesus Christ, as he, I speak reverently, was lived here below, indeed it was a wilderness to him, wasn't it? But you see, he went on. Yes, he never faltered one bit at any time whatever. But he pursued that path, doing his Father's will. Yes, and working out that salvation for all his dear people, he flinched not at all. There was no going back. He continued. Fierce temptations, but he continued. Yes, persecutions, but he continued. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, but he continued. But you see, here's the secret of God's dear people. The secret of their going on, their continuing. And what a mercy it is, dear friends, as one you can lean on. You see, there was a humble, wholehearted trust here. This one, in all her weakness and difficulty and trial and temptation and all that belonged to the wilderness, didn't affect the wondrous person and character of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He was so sufficient, so suitable to her need, and so near to her. So as she journeyed on, she leaned on him. She leaned on him. Now, there is a support, you see. And that's the secret of continuing. And what a great mercy it is to be found amongst those who do continue. You know, we have some very solemn words in the scripture, don't we, about those who did not continue. We think of the record in the Gospel of John again, and in that sixth chapter, where we read how that there were those who went back walk no more with the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, what can we say about them? They were disciples in name, not disciples in deed, but disciples in name. There was no union between them and the Lord Jesus Christ. And this was sadly revealed when they were offended at his words, when they turned their backs upon him. They're not to backsliders, you see, because God restores backsliders, but that they were apostates. They turned their backs upon the Lord Jesus Christ and his precious word. And it shows to us, doesn't it, the mercy of being enabled by his grace to continue, still to press on. Yes, faint yet pursuing, as it were. So with this one in the text then, how did she continue? Not in her own strength. Well, she considered the wilderness and all that it was to her, and her own weakness, well, it's everything to discourage. But the secret was this, you see, she leaned on the Lord Jesus Christ. And the harder she leaned, the more she proved this, the strength and the ability and the mercy and the suitability of the Lord Jesus Christ and all his omnipotence in his grace toward her. She leaned upon her beloved. And we can think of her when feeling perhaps very much her own weakness and weariness, to realise this secret support, and which would kindle, as it were, afresh in her heart, a love to that one upon whom she leaned. And dear friends, oh may you and I know something of that blessing, to feel our hearts drawn to the Lord Jesus Christ as our strength and stay, our all sufficiency, indeed our only hope of salvation. There's a question in this Solomon's song, isn't there? What is our beloved more than another's beloved? And there was the answer, you see. She could speak of this one as the chiefest among 10,000 and the altogether lovely. And you see, the more a poor pilgrim has to learn of his or her weakness and insufficiency, it brings them to realise their deep need of the sufficiency of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as there's some blessing of known of that, and some of that mercy imparted, as it were, by his grace, then it warms the heart. It warms the heart. You feel your heart drawn to him. I know. There are other times when we seem to be so cold, so unmoved, seem to make little headway, as it were, almost at a standstill, perhaps. Sometimes wonder whether you've got any religion at all. What a mercy it is when a little movement, yes, a desire toward him, and you can be sure that this one in the text, as she felt that support, as she was enabled to continue, well, she realised that in the Lord Jesus Christ there's everything to satisfy her need. Complete satisfaction, yes, that her needs should be supplied. But you see, he was here a little and there a little as she journeyed on. And there's something about this leaning also surely teaches us this. I think of it in the light of that text. As thy days, so shall thy strength be. You see, she come up out of the wilderness day by day, as it were. She leaned day by day. And surely this is a secret of the mercy whereby poor sinners are able to continue. Yes, as they lean on him. And dear friends, we do need to be helped in this. You know, there's such a tendency, isn't there, to lean on self or something base instead of trusting sovereign grace. We're all guilty in that way. But a great mercy, you know, to really be brought to feel our weakness and our dependence, that we need the Lord Jesus Christ. We need his supporting grace. We need his sustaining mercy. Yea, we need all that he is as the saviour of sinners, as a friend of sinners. But to come into the experience and to know it is as you're brought to lean on him. And therefore, not to lean to our own understanding or the folly of this. You see, we may tend sometimes to lean on other things. Yes, even perhaps to lean on frames and feelings. And that is not the support, is it? There are the frames and feelings. God grants us a feeling religion. But that's not the support, is it? The support, the strength, is in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no other source. But blessed be God, it is a wondrous source. For the sufficiency, there is in the Lord Jesus Christ. This dear one, journeying up through the wilderness, you see, she was close to him, and she was kept close to him. And in this way, she came up out of the wilderness. Yet she still proceeded, as it were, from day to day. And so that word comes back into the mind again. As thy day, so shall thy strength be. And those who lean on the Lord Jesus Christ will prove that. There is strength communicated. Yes, daily strength, strength for each day. You see, as she leaned on the Lord Jesus Christ, her beloved, it was from day to day. She received strength sufficient. She was graciously and wondrously supported. And that is the way the Lord has designed for his dear people to walk in. You see, we may tend sometimes to think what a mercy it would be if we could store up a little bit of strength in ourselves, as it were. May even perhaps seek strength for the morrow, but that's not according to the promise. As thy days, so shall thy strength be. And sometimes the heart may be sorely troubled as perhaps you consider the future and what the future may hold in store for you. But sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof, the trouble thereof. Oh, to be helped from day to day, to look to the Lord Jesus Christ, and in looking to lean upon him, to realise that here is strength, here is safety, here is one who is wisdom itself. And there are those petitions. And they're set before us in this chapter, really. It indicates, does it not, some communion between this dear traveller and her beloved. And we have it in the sixth verse. Seal upon thine arm, for thy love is strong as death. And again, many waters cannot quench love, neither can the floods drown it. And sometimes, you see, in the communication between a poor sinner and the sinner's friend, as love grows warm, as it were, there's will be a concern. Here, there's this word, set me a seal upon thine heart. The seal upon thine arm. It indicates that, which shows, as it were, the union which exists between the one and the other, the beloved and the pilgrim. This seal, we read in the scripture about the seal of the Spirit, that which indicates an interest in the Lord Jesus Christ himself. A seal is very important, isn't it? But see, she says, set me as a seal upon thine heart, and as a seal upon thine arm, upon thine heart, yes, the fountain of love, as it were. And upon thine arm, here is the strength. Here is the way in which the Lord is pleased to communicate his supporting grace. There is his strength, the strength of his arm. There is the love of his heart. Now, to think of this, you know, in the light of those beautiful promises we have in the prophecy of Isaiah, where the Lord condescends to his dear travelling people, weak though they are themselves. The fear not he gives. And surely a poor pilgrim who is unable to lean upon the Lord Jesus Christ is something to allay the fears, isn't it? There are the fears. We tend to be fearful hearted, but there's that to allay those fears. how the Lord Jesus Christ, how he comforted his disciples, didn't he? Yes, that they should not fear. Yes, and the unknown future, not to fear, in spite of the persecution and all that made up the wilderness journey. He comforted them with a sense of his promise and the promise of his presence and his Holy Spirit's aid. Fear not, I've overcome the world. And this wilderness world, you see, the Lord's overcome it for his dear people. He's made a way whereby they can journey from this wilderness. Yes, this waste, howling wilderness, as the Word of God describes it, and what sin has made it to be. Here's one who cannot settle down in the wilderness because it's cannot supply the need. There's no food here. There's no water here. But in the Lord Jesus Christ, there's everything. There's food. Yes, there is drink. Yes, there is his good spirit. There's everything the poor sinner needs as he journeys on from day to day in this wilderness journey. And this one comes up out of the wilderness. Yes, she's not there to all eternity. No, there's the end of the journey. When God, in his great mercy, fulfilled his promise to his ancient people, he brought them into the promised land, didn't he? True, it's a wilderness journey. And they had to traverse the wilderness for many years. And many years, really, on account of their sin. And yet God was with them. The cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. There was supplies, there was the manna. Yes, there was the water that flowed from the rock. All pointing, you see, to the fullness that dwells in the Lord Jesus Christ. And this dear travelling one, as she leans upon her beloved, so she receives. She finds refreshment. She finds food to strengthen. Yes, water to quench, as it were. The wine of the gospel to cheer her heart. There's everything in the Lord Jesus Christ. All what we need is that grace to lean hard upon him. To be delivered from trusting in self. He that trusts in his own heart is a fool, the word of God says. But trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And lean not to thine understanding, but lean on him. Oh, here is wisdom. Yes, here is grace. Here is the sufficiency. Here is wondrous righteousness. Yes, and here is cleansing, pardon. It all centres in and flows through the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is as these pilgrims are helped to lean, so they do continue. Yes, they do not draw back. The apostle had a great word, didn't he, as he wrote to the church at in Judea, in the Epistle of the Hebrews. He said, we're not of them who draw back unto perdition, but them that believe to the saving of the soul. And one aspect of believing is this, leaning, isn't it? Leaning upon him. Leaning upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, may the Lord grant us to know something of that blessed attraction there is in the Lord Jesus Christ and all his wondrous suitability. And he is that saviour and a great one. The one who comes down to his dear people, as it were, in the wilderness. So that they can lean upon him. And that they can commune with him, as it were. Pour out their heart before him. Express their desires before him. How compassionate the Lord Jesus Christ was, wasn't he? When he was here upon earth. Sometimes thought of those needy cases. Poor blind man, and when he cried out, the Lord Jesus Christ stood still. Amazing word, isn't it? The Lord Jesus Christ journeyed, didn't he, from one place to another. He was journeying on at that time. And as the poor blind man called out, Jesus stood still. He took notice of the cry. He stopped, as it was, speak reverently, to take notice. And it shows to us the pity and compassion, and the understanding. This is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, dear friends, that is the Saviour you and I need. Oh, may we know what it is as we journey on to lean here and to know him as our beloved. Because she was brought safely on, safely through the wilderness. And like it was with God's ancient people, they were brought safely, yes, through Jordan and into the promised land. Oh, may you and I know something of the beauties of the Lord Jesus Christ. And to realise that that all is in him and our only hope is alone in him. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Amen.
We'll close by singing hymn number 92. The tune is Hampstead 340. Hymn number 92. Who is this fair one in distress that travels from this wilderness and pressed with sorrows and with sins on her beloved Lord she leans? Hymn number 92.
be pleased in mercy to forgive anything spoken amiss, and do bless thine own precious truth. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit abide with us, both now and forever. Amen.